You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you. Earlier this week, on Monday and Tuesday, we did a series called The 10 Most Important Players to the Future of the Buffalo Bills. I teamed up with 10 other Buffalo Bills content creators, and I asked them to give me their individual list of who they believe the 10 most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills are, and I asked them to consider the role that the player filled and how important that was, and if the player reaches their ceiling, how important that role would be and how difficult that position would be to replace. And so I received 11 sets of rankings, my own plus 10, averaged them together, and came up with a consensus list of the top 10 most important players to the Buffalo Bills. In doing the project, 21 different names were submitted, so we actually wound up having a list 21 deep of players. On Monday, we revealed the top 10. On Tuesday, we revealed the top 21. And on the Tuesday podcast, I invited each one of the members of the panel to come on and answer a question that was specific to their unique rankings or the project in general. And of course, on Monday, I had a different member of the panel on to analyze the players that were in the top 10. So I really enjoyed putting that together on Monday and Tuesday. Then, of course, we had OTAs that we covered the next 2 days of the podcast. But today, I want to tie a ribbon on this discussion when it comes to the future of the Buffalo Bills. So I'm going to give you my personal list, my personal top 10 most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills. And I want to give you some overall thoughts on the project from putting this thing together. Then in segments 2 and 3, Jay Spence the King is going to join me to discuss his very unique set of rankings, which actually didn't even include Josh Allen at all. So he's going to explain his thought process later on in the podcast. But first, let me give you my list, my personal ranking of the 10 most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills. At number one, of course, I had Josh Allen. He was the consensus number one. At number two, I had cornerback Tre'Davious White. He was the consensus number two. At number three, I had Stephon Diggs. He was the consensus number three. At number four, I had Gregory Rousseau, first-round pick, rookie. He was the consensus number six. Now, the reason I had Gregory Rousseau so high on the list is because I really valued the idea of this list reflecting what it would look like if the player reached their ceiling and how important that role could be. And I think the Bills defense is missing that dynamic player, that playmaking presence on the defensive line. And I think Ed Oliver certainly has a chance to become that. But the guy that also has a chance to become that is Gregory Rousseau from the edge spot. And we've talked about how difficult it would be for the Bills to find a big-time edge rusher because they go high in the draft, right? Like top five, Bosa's and Garrett's and Khalil Mack's, those types of players, they go high in the draft. And they don't hit free agency. And if you want to go sign one in free agency like a Trey Hendrickson or a Carl Lawson, you're going to have to pay them more than they deserve. And so I thought because it would be so difficult for the Bills to land this high-impact edge rusher and the possibility that Gregory Rousseau could be it, I bumped him up on my rankings. At number five, I had offensive tackle Deion Dawkins. He was number seven in the consensus. At number six, I had Ed Oliver. He was number five in the consensus. At number seven, I had Tremaine Edmonds. He was number four in the consensus. At number eight, I had Matt Milano, who was also number eight in the consensus. And then my last two guys in my top 10 were not ranked in the consensus top 10. I had Micah Hyde at 9 and Jordan Poyer at 10. Hyde was consensus number 14. Poyer was consensus number 17. And I'll be honest, that surprised me a lot because I don't know how you've watched this Bills football team since Sean McDermott took it over back in 2017 and don't recognize how important Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer have been and how important their roles are. And I think for the Bills defense to remain one of the better defenses in the NFL, Poyer and Hyde sustaining their level of play is going to be critical. And look, these guys are aging. They're not going to be around forever. It's going to be critical for the Bills to have a plan to replace them because they very much are a critical part of this engine that makes this defense go. It's how they've been able to get away with less than ideal athleticism at corner, particularly in Levi Wallace. It's because they have Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. On a defense that struggles to tackle, Jordan Poyer has consistently been a standout tackler. Micah Hyde, what he does in terms of disguising coverages and leveraging routes and capping throws, I mean, he's unbelievable. Teams stop throwing his way. So I just think they're essential. Bruce Nolan gets it. I guess none of the other panel members did because there wasn't a lot of love for these guys in the big picture here when it comes to them being ranked in people's top tens. Some other takeaways that I had from the project, I am surprised that 9 and 10 on the consensus top 10 were Dawson Knox and Gabriel Davis. Dawson Knox, a tight end that was not a big part of that offense last year. Number one scoring offense in the AFC, 501 points. The best offense the Bills have ever put on the field. Dawson Knox was a very small part of that. So I guess I don't truly understand his belonging in the top 10. Now I recognize if he reaches his ceiling, how important he could be for the team. But the Bills have already proven to be able to produce elite offensive production without major contributions from the tight end position. And you guys know I love Dawson Knox. You know I love him. You know that I'm counting on him being a breakout player this year. And I didn't even have him in my top 10. So I'm surprised that collectively as a group, he scored high enough with his average rank to get into the top 10. Gabriel Davis also surprised me. I like Davis. He had a great rookie season. Fourth round pick to come in and do what he did under the circumstances of last offseason. I mean, I'm elated that he's on the team, but he's still the fourth receiver. Diggs, Beasley, and Sanders are ahead of him on the depth chart. I think all three will have more targets than Davis. So while I do believe he can ascend and become higher on the pecking order, he's still wide receiver four. And a lot of the principles that I discussed with Dawson Knox and how the offensive production was what it was despite him not having a major role, I would apply some of that to Gabriel Davis in that, all right, while Davis was a bigger part of the offense, he was still the fourth receiver. I know that circumstances dictated that a little bit when John Brown wasn't healthy and you know Davis had a bigger role in the offense, but I don't know. Like I was a little surprised. I'm counting on Davis to continue to ascending and being a meaningful playmaker, and I like Davis, and I think he's certainly worthy of being rated right somewhere in this top 21, but to be number 9, I was a little surprised, especially when you think about the safeties that were left off the list. A couple other things here. Of the 21 players that received a vote from the 11 members of the panel, 17 of those 21 were original Bills draft picks. Love that. The exceptions, of course, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Stephon Diggs, and Darrell Williams. The other 17 were players drafted by Sean McDermott / Brandon Bean. You love to see that. You love to see that your most important players have been draft picks. And I know that because some of these guys were higher picks, that kind of defaults them to this list. But we're talking about 17 deep. 17 of the 21 most important players for the future of the team are players that they drafted since 2017. You love to see that. I was surprised that only one offensive lineman made the top 10, and that was Deion Dawkins. And I personally didn't vote for any other offensive lineman, but when you do think about Darrell Williams and how nervous we all were about not being able to re-sign him, and even when Matt Milano was a free agent this offseason, myself and so many others said priority number one is bringing back Darrell Williams. So with that in mind, we couldn't find a spot for the guy in the top 10. Kind of interesting. He received some votes. Actually, when I say he received some votes, he really only received one vote from Joe Miller, who had him 9. Nobody else had him in their top 10. So there's certainly a case to be made for his belonging in the top 10, or at least another offensive lineman. I mean, Mitch Morse, nobody said Mitch Morse. John Feliciano, everybody loves the Mullers mentality and the energy he brings to the offense. Nobody voted for him. Spencer Brown did get some looks here by members of the panel. 3 different people had Spencer Brown in the top 10, but he didn't qualify in terms of an average rank to be higher than number 16 on the list. And you know, Josh Allen is the franchise, right? Protecting Josh Allen, super important. Only offensive lineman in the top 10 is Deion Dawkins. Interesting. And then I was really surprised. This is the last thing, and we'll hear from Jay Spence on this in a minute. I was surprised that 2 people, Joe Miller and Jay Spence, voted for Marquez Stevenson as one of their top 10 most important players for the future of the Bills. I mean, we're talking about a 6th-round pick this year. Not even a top 200 pick. Rookie. Already one of the most important players for the future of the team. So when you consider that, and because, you know, Spence had him 3, he finished number 12 overall on this panel, ahead of Hyde and Cody Ford and A.J. Epenesa and Tyler Bass and Jordan Poyer. So, yeah, that was definitely something that was interesting to me. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and the UFC. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I'm joined now by Jay Spence, the King, host of the Code of Conduct podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Spence, the King. And remember, it's just the J at the beginning, not J-A-Y. So don't fall into that mistake. If you can't find him, Jay Spence, the King, with just the J at the beginning. Jay, my guy, thanks for joining me for this discussion today.
Man, it's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much for having me. I've been a fan of your show for quite some time, so this is a big deal for me.
Oh, dude, I love catching you on the live streams, and I guess I'm a little surprised it's taken this long for us to sync up on Locked On Bills. So thanks for all your work on the consensus top 10 thing. You were part of that panel. And as part of being on that panel, everybody knows the drill. I had 10 different people, 11 including myself, where I asked them to tell me who the 10 most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills are in your mind. I averaged everyone's rankings together. We had the consensus list, and it expanded to 21 different names. I was kind of surprised so many names were included. And, dude, your rankings were different. They were different than the rest of everybody. And so I want to talk about that with you here today, and I want to get right to the main thing. You didn't have Josh Allen. You didn't have Josh Allen at number 1. You didn't have Josh Allen in the top 10. In fact, right. You know, look, I've often said that I don't actually care that much about what people's opinions are. I care much, much more about their process. Mm-hmm. So let's find out about your process. How did you get to this conclusion that Josh Allen was not only not number 1, but he did not deserve to be in the top 10?
Well, to start, I think the most important thing is, because I got beat up, everybody, in the chat, like by all the content creators. It's like, what do you mean? Are you kidding me? I think the most important part to look at is basically philosophy. We have to start there. While everybody obviously in the group and who was a part of this exercise, they view offense and they view the quarterback as the most important position on a football team. I look at today's NFL that way, but I do not look at personally. If I was a coach or GM, my team building process would not be what the NFL's is today. Now, that's probably a reason why I'm not an NFL coach, and that's probably why Rex Ryan is no longer in the league, because I am a run first. I am a defense heavy, like, you know, we play defense, we control the ball and smash you in the mouth type of guy. So with that being said, you fast forward to this exercise that we're doing, and the question is, why isn't Josh Allen even in your top 10? And the reason is because while I do believe it is very vital, it's important that our quarterback has great play and our quarterback continues to develop and reach the levels that, you know, everybody would hope and pray that he can reach. The thing is, to me, all of that is void if we do not have a very good or dominant defense. And with Sean McDermott being our coach, with, you know, our GM, with our coaching scheme, with the way things happen, we need that middle linebacker to be a beast. And that's just what we've seen out of Sean McDermott's defenses when they were successful. If you don't have a good defensive guy, Tremaine Edmonds is not going to work. So Josh is awesome. Josh is amazing. And I'm loving the growth. I'm loving everything that we're seeing out of him. I truly believe that you can have the greatest quarterback in history. And if you don't have a defense to go with it, it doesn't matter. You'll just have a very fun season.
Okay, so it sounds like you definitely embrace the old school mantra, run the football, stop the run, play good defense, and the key to that is in your mind, the middle linebacker. And so Tremaine Edmonds was number one. You talked about that on the Tuesday podcast after we released the first – no, on the Monday podcast when we did the top 10 because you did the blurb on Tremaine Edmonds. So how do you reconcile your personal philosophies on football and what it takes to win – versus what we're seeing in the NFL, where, I mean, we had Brad Johnson with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we had Trent Dilfer with the Baltimore Ravens, but we're pretty far removed from that. And we've seen the team that wins a Super Bowl every year pretty much has an elite quarterback. And so how do you reconcile what you're seeing happening in the NFL versus your own, you know, core beliefs on football?
Well, I think that where we get in trouble when we look at those things is that we say, oh, they had a good quarterback or a great quarterback. So that's the key. The thing is, if you strip away, if you don't look at the offensive stats, just look at defense. On average, the winner of the Super Bowl in history falls at 8. So the defensive ranking for the entire season of the winner of the Super Bowl falls in the top 10. Now, there are some outliers. And I mentioned it on your show the other day. There are some outliers at 20. There's one at 25. There's another one, I believe, at 17 that I saw. But in history, the average is 8. The losers, the average on the defensive side of the ball is around 11, like 11 and a half. So it lets you know clearly the winner has a better defense. Offensively, same thing. You do see that the offenses typically are good. But here's an interesting stat, and I wish I would have I wish that we had like a live show going on where I could like pull up the numbers and show people like live. But look it up, people. The offensive ranks are lower on the winner than they are on the loser side. So to me, what that picture tells me, when I look at it from outside of the frame, what I see is that, yes, you do need a good to very good quarterback to be a consistently great team. But what that means is you really need a better defense to be consistent, to win and to build these teams that become dynasties. You look at the Patriots and yeah, Tom Brady was there. So I get it. You know, this guy has five championships with them, got another, you know, I get it. The problem is he's also had a very good defense every year. And maybe one year out of the whole thing, you could say it wasn't the best defense that Bill Belichick probably, you know, he probably wanted a better defense on the field, but you've never seen a Tom Brady Super Bowl without a very good defense.
It's funny. Two things come to mind listening to you respond to that. First, when you talk about the Patriots, it's funny how the Patriots team that had the best offense, the 15 or 16-0 team with Randy Moss, they didn't win the Super Bowl. And then you think about the game against the Rams, the Patriots Rams Super Bowl. I don't know, what was the score, like 13-3 or something like that. It was the ultimate, you know, defensive game plan. It wasn't really Tom Brady that won that Super Bowl. It was what they did defensively. And I hear you. You've drawn a correlation. The second point that I was going to make is you've drawn a correlation between Super Bowl championships and even Super Bowl runner-up and defensive ranking. And so your thought process behind that is, all right, well, because of that, Tremaine Edmonds and a lot of defensive players filled up the top of your top 10.
Correct. So it's not that I don't think Josh is important. It's not that I don't think Josh, you know, I understand in today's league, you're going to need a guy. So I get that. But what I'm saying is, for instance, if you look at last season too, once we got to the conference championship, you went against an offensive juggernaut, right? And we weren't able to stop him. I don't think we lost that game because of Josh Allen. Josh Allen didn't play his best game, but by no means did he play his worst game. And it just didn't matter that Josh Allen was a stud. It didn't matter that Josh Allen is athletically gifted enough to do all of these things that we've never seen from the quarterback position. What matters is our defense couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes. We couldn't stop Travis Kelce. We couldn't stop. So it didn't matter. And I always use the example. And again, I used this on your show the other day. You look at Aaron Rodgers of the world and Peyton Manning's of the world. And yeah, they have Super Bowls to their names, but for the guys that we see in them, the way I see Aaron Rodgers, you know, it's tough. You're hard pressed to find somebody more talented at the quarterback position than Aaron Rodgers in history, but he has one Super Bowl to his name. And if you look at that one Super Bowl, he had a pretty darn good defense. He had a talented roster top to bottom. Every year that they depend on these guys to just run teams by themselves and just, oh, go out there and win it with your arm. Yeah, during the season, that's fun because you're also playing against teams that aren't in the top five or the top 10. So once you get to the playoffs and you're playing teams that are well balanced, it's a whole lot more difficult to just win with your arm. So like I said, that's my point. You know, I understand why everybody wants the quarterback, but I just really see it to be that in the grand scheme of things, when you play the game, it really does matter if you can stop the other guy. So as important as your quarterback is, you have to stop the other quarterback.
Did you take a lot of crap for this? I mean, I have. So I here's the thing is, I know the group chat, whenever we were kind of working through this, and I shared everyone's rankings because we did them without seeing each mm-hmm. other's. I want it to be a very pure process. So after I dropped it, I mean, the chat went crazy. And these are buddies, right? Like these are a lot of people that you work with, you know, respected other content creators and podcasters. So now that this has kind of been released to the public, and I think I don't want to like compliment myself because that feels weird, but I think I did a good job of, all right, Jay did this, right? Like this happened, but I didn't put you on blast and I wanted to give you the opportunity to do this. But however, it is out there in the court of public opinion has probably put you on trial. What's the feedback been like?
Well, to be honest, I haven't heard much from, you know, any other people outside of the content creators that we were talking to. And in a very non-intentional way, Bruce helped me prepare for this because when you first in the chat, when you sent the rankings, Bruce and I immediately, you know, Joe Miller and I have like a separate chat that we kind of mm-hmm. you know, bounce ideas off each other. And he's like, Spence, like, I'm really confused as to how you came up with this. So in the process of trying to explain to him how I came to this conclusion, it helped me prepare for this. So I want to thank Bruce, but honestly, you know, it's a very good exercise that you did because it honestly shows, everyone's philosophy is different. Even though everybody had besides me had Josh first, the lists were different, man. Like there were you know, defensive players higher on some lists, special teams player on some lists. So it was a absolute great experience to do, man. But yeah, I got blasted.
Need to tell you guys about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the planet. So many amazing flavors. They're all delicious. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. It's like eating a candy bar, but it's good for you. Built Bars are great for anyone who is health conscious. Whether you want to lose weight, maintain weight, or just indulge in a delicious treat, you got to try Built Bars. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and perfect for anyone who is on the keto diet. Got a deal for you. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKED15, and it'll get you a 15% off your next order, even if you've used it before. It'll get you another 15% off. So go to BuiltBar.com, use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. So, Jay, another major surprise from your list was having Marquez Stevenson, or kind of how you returned it back to me, was whoever the returner was at number 3 on your rankings. And so just like we talked about your process to getting to Josh Allen, and well, I guess not getting to Josh Allen, what made you put Stevenson or the return guy at number three?
Well, I tend to, again, this is another philosophy thing. I really do value special teams. I don't value them as heavily as one third of the entire roster. You know, I don't, they're not on the field enough to be considered one third of the team. But the way I look at the value of special teams, I do weigh it heavily. And I think that field position absolutely benefited Josh Allen more than a lot of Bills fans are going to want to admit. Did he take a step forward? Absolutely. He took, you know, he probably took leaps forward. But the thing is, having multiple short fields where you're starting on the 40 or sometimes every once in a while in the other team's, you know, on the other team's side of the field, it absolutely helps a quarterback score touchdowns or get in scoring position when you don't have further to go. So losing Andre Roberts for me was a heartbreaker, not because I just love the guy, but because he's absolutely a top guy at what he does. And it's going to be hard to replace. And I think Bills fans, for good reason, I know we love Isaiah McKenzie. I know that, you know, he's one of the most fun guys that you see, and he interacts with everybody, you know, so he's a good guy. But the thing is, the Miami performance, I don't think that we're going to consistently see that performance from Isaiah McKenzie week in and week out. We consistently saw, without the touchdowns, we saw Robert dominate on special teams consistently. I don't think that the Bills fans who make those statements about Andre being gone, I don't think they really value special teams like I do, which, again, in the chat or in with this exercise, I don't think the other content creators value special teams and returns as much as I do. I think it's absolutely important to not start, you know, if we can start on the 35 more than we start on the 25, that's a really, really good thing for our team. Those 10 yards matter a whole lot.
You know, Isaiah McKenzie, you mentioned the Miami game, the 84 yard punt return for a touchdown. Let's not forget that was very much the result of a line drive punt by now Bills punter Matt Hawk, right? I mean, that was a bad kick. That was a bad kick for sure. And dude, I'm a big Andre Roberts fan. The biggest concern that I have about the 2021 Buffalo Bills is the return situation, because it's not just being able to advance the football. It's making good decisions. It's fielding the ball cleanly. It's protecting the football once you choose to return it. And the Bills don't have anyone on their roster that has a proven ability to do that, especially as a kick and punt returner, right? That was another benefit of Roberts. He did both, and he did both at a high level. Now you probably have a different punt returner than you do kick returner. It changes the way you craft your roster in terms of numbers at each position. And, oh, by the way, you don't have that all-pro guy that makes great decisions each and every time he gets a chance to return the football.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about Andre, kind of like you mentioned, so Isaiah, you're right. We don't have that guy that we can consistently fall on. Thing about Roberts is there have been games last year, and I can, you know, I'm not going to go down my Andre Roberts love affair like I always do, but there are games where, you know, it wasn't the blowout where the Bills were up, but, and it wasn't often, obviously, but that field position actually was the reason that the Bills ended up winning. Because, you know, for instance, look at the playoff game against the Indianapolis Colts. That was 100% a game of field position for the first three quarters of the game. Actually, you could say the whole game was a game of field position. That is the type of game that you're going to miss Andre Roberts. If we keep getting pinned back in the 10, 15 because of punts, that's going to really hurt. And we saw that in the first half of that playoff game. The Bills weren't able to really start outside of the 20, and they got stalled first few drives, and it just looked like a completely different team. When Josh has space, you don't have to worry about the factor of, oh my God, is he going to revert back to old Josh and play hero ball and try to get out of a sack? Or is he going to take you don't even have to worry about it, because he's already in a better position because we're not with our backs to the end zone. So I just really, really value special teams a whole lot more than a lot of people.
So let's move on to a different player here. You were the only member of the panel to rank Cody Ford and place him at number 7. And I'll be honest with you, Ford was on my original draft, and then I took him off because I strongly felt that including both safeties, Poyer and Hyde, was necessary. But I was honestly pretty surprised that more people didn't include him. You wound up being the only one that even ranked Cody Ford. So Share with us why you think Cody Ford is so important to the future of the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I think at this point it's clear, you know, we have our quarterback. So it's the thing where in order to consistently, and there's that word again, consistent, you want to protect your guy. And, you know, we got Deion and he's doing well. Like he's doing everything that we need him to do. They drafted Cody with a second round pick. He has to play to it. Like he actually has to start putting film, you know, he has to put film out there that shows consistently he can win his matchups every week. And he hasn't done that yet. And the thing is, when you spend that type of capital on a player and they invest in a player like that, it's going to be really important. And it's going to be a big loss if he doesn't develop. So to me, I think I value it on either way. Like if he does reach that potential, it's going to be great for the Buffalo Bills because, you know, you have your guys that you develop with the chemistry and all that. If not, it's going to end up being a hole. Whereas last year we already went through, you know, musical chairs on our offensive line. We went through so much and we finally started to gel and Cody started to look better on that, the left side of the line. I would like to see him really put something together that shows like, hey, we can have a dominant side. If you and Deion over there together are dominant, I just think that will elevate our offense so much more, so much more.
I didn't warn you that I was going to ask you about this, but another player that was pretty unique to your ranking was Devin Singletary at number 10. And so nobody else had Devin Singletary. So that was another Jay Spence special. So sell us on Devin Singletary, his importance to the team and why you included him.
Well, I think this year is absolutely a make or break, obviously, for Devin. I think that the team likes him and loves him very much. That's why they drafted him where they did. That's why they kept him. That's why he still had the initial last season. He had the initial lion share of the snaps and everything. Moss started to overtake him towards the end of the season. I felt like Moss became that work back. And look, he has a lot to prove this year in Devin. And if he can be the guy, if he can be, we don't expect him to be CMC. We don't expect him to be Saquon Barkley. But if he can be a guy that can give us 900, 1,000 yards in the season, I really think that, you know, what a running game for this offense, for our quarterback, our receivers, what that would do for Dawson Knox, it would just completely open up things in such a way that our team is unguardable. You can't defend it. So the reason why I bring up Devin is because of the type of offense that apparently our offensive coordinator wants to run. I don't think Zach fits the mold of what our offensive coordinator wants to do. He wants Devin to get out there and make people miss and that's Devin's game. I just don't see it, man. So it's important for me to see him develop and to reach that ceiling. I don't see it happening.
Let me ask you this, and you can tell me if this is a fair statement. As I listen to you talk about your rankings and I see your rankings, it sounds to me like a lot of the way you crafted this was, of course, personal philosophy, but also highlighting certain players that need to take a step and work into a role and play at a higher level to make the team more balanced and complete with definitely, I think, I don't want to use the word bias, but an emphasis on what we saw last year and the need to get over the hump to not stall out whenever the team meets the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason.
Right. And that was another thing that Bruce and I kind of talked about, because the thing for me was I took very, very seriously in the question when you said reach potential. So, you know, now, again, Josh, I don't think has reached his potential. I think he can still grow, which would be phenomenal for the team. But I think Josh can even regress a bit. But if these other guys step forward, I don't think it matters. I think Josh can take another leap. But if these guys don't get better and if these guys regress, it won't matter. So that's kind of how I form my list. I need these guys to step up. I need these guys to reach their potential or to play to the level that, you know, obviously the team had an expectation of when they drafted or signed these guys as free agents.
So with that in mind, and again, for lack of better phrasing, did you somewhat take for granted that certain players were at their ceilings and assume that that level of play would sustain itself? Because I'm looking at your rankings and of the 10 players, and I'll in order really quick, Tremaine Edmonds, Ed Oliver, Marquez Stevenson, Trey White, Greg Rousseau, Stephon Diggs, Cody Ford, Dawson Knox, Spencer Brown, Devin Singletary, only two of those 10 players are at their ceiling, right? And that's Trey White and Stephon Diggs. A lot of young players, a lot of people that could grow into roles, and if they were to reach their ceiling, could matter a ton for this football team. But for the most part, a lot of unproven, or at least unproven when it means reaching their ceiling and what they could mean for the long haul. Is that a fair statement as well?
That's the best statement. Like, you are so accurate there. Cause to me, that potential aspect of this question, that is the part that I kind of, that's what made me make every decision. It's like, okay, the potential of this guy and what it could mean to our team as a whole. Again, Josh, the potential of Josh matters. Absolutely. I just really, really think that special teams are very important. I think our running game is very important. I said at the beginning of this, that I'm a run first. You know, I was in heaven when we had LeSean McCoy. Like, I was in heaven, not because it was Shady. Like, yeah, it's fun to watch Shady, but it's also very, very fun to have, you know, one of the most dominant run attacks in the league. The only difference is there, we didn't win the games. So, you know, that's why I said I know I wouldn't be a coach. Like, me and Rex were out of the league. I get it.
So you mentioned the rushing attack back with LeSean McCoy and how the Bills were really dominant running the football under Rex Ryan, right? The number one rushing offense. And let me give you a statistic here. This blows my mind. Every team to have the NFL's number one rushing offense from 2008 to 2015 won their division, except the 2015 Bills under Rex Ryan and the 2009 Jets under Rex Ryan. That's unreal.
Dude, it's impossible. Like, how can you be the guy that literally breaks history? Like, every team in history wins their division except for yours twice. That's insane.
Yep. Unreal. Bad football coach, Rex Ryan. I don't know if there's anything I've conveyed to the listeners of Locked On Bills over the last 2.5 years. It's that Rex Ryan was a really bad football coach. So as we reflect on this project in totality and you consider the consensus rankings, how things fell doing this project, what are some of those top takeaways that you have?
Well, the first thing is that the NFL has done an amazing job at obviously elevating the value of the quarterback position. So everyone thinks that the quarterback is the most important position. And in certain conversations, they're right. But, you know, when it comes to winning championships, like I mentioned earlier, the correlation to the top defense is winning. To me, that absolutely shows that the quarterback is important, but defense is just as important as your offense. And then secondly, it's disheartening to me that my Buffalo counterparts on my other podcast buddies don't quite see special teams and defense as important as I do. But I think that's what separates me every week during the season when I'm out there tweeting extend Andre Roberts and all these other things. I think that's what kind of makes me a little bit different than everybody else. But hey, it's go Bills. And thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this exercise, man. It was a blast.
I'm glad you were. And honestly, that's why I wanted to bring in as many people as I did. I could have just done Joe Marino's top 10 most important players of the future of the Bills and been done with it. But I wanted to extend it to multiple people and enough people so that way we can get different opinions out there and have good conversations and have a list that is more reflective of the Bills content creation community as a whole, as opposed to just me. And so I'm glad you were part of this. And if people want to hear more from you, tell us more about the Code of Conduct podcast and all your work at Buffalo Rumblings.
Yeah, man. Thank you. So every Monday night, I go live at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I typically have a guest on. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes you have to just listen to me, but I try to have on some good people. I have a couple big shows coming up. So find me on Twitter at JSpenceTheKing to kind of keep up with everything we got going on. And then if you can, man, go and subscribe to the Buffalo Rumblings YouTube channel. That is where you're going to find me as much as possible, especially during the season. I have the Chop Up with Mookie Hawkins that will air every Sunday as a pregame show. Again, the Code of Conduct. And then Joe Miller and myself, we have the Hump Day Hotline every Wednesday.
A lot of content coming from Jay. Don't miss it. Subscribe to the Buffalo Rumblings YouTube channel and the podcast channel. That's as well another place that you can find it. So thank you so much for joining me today, Jay, and you know, we'll have to collaborate more in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, folks, that'll do it for us today on the podcast. For us this week on the podcast, I have another full lineup of podcasts ready for you next week. The Dog days of summer are here, but that doesn't mean this podcast is slowing down. We are 5 days a week, all year round, and I'm really excited about a lot of the discussions that I have planned for the coming weeks as we get ready for training camp and have some fun on the podcast and get into some really interesting subject matter. So keep it dialed in. Make sure you're subscribed, rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.